Blog Talk Radio. All participants are muted. Entry tones are off. Exit tones are on. Entry tones are on. Exit tones are off. Entry and exit tones are on. Entry and exit tones are off.
Go ahead and invite a couple of people to come and be with you on tonight. Invite. We know that tonight is Friday night. There's a lot of action going on every day, but there's a lot of action going on in this day, in this Friday, amen, this Friday right before the weekend. And people of God, listen, we just want to kind of break into their schedule and invite them to come to the Prayer News Network. Perhaps they're getting ready to go out and get into their mischievousness, glory to God, in those false pleasures. Listen, we know what that's all about. We have not been saved all of our lives. And I tell you, I don't know about you, but I could tell you about some false pleasures, those pleasures that get you nowhere. So what we want to do, we want to just kind of break into their schedule, invite them to come and be with us on tonight. Listen, let them know something good is going on over here. Let them know that the table is spread. And the feast of the Lord is going on. We want them to come. We want them to come. We want them to be with us. We want them on tonight to come and hear what doth saith the Lord unto them on tonight. So we are indeed grateful. We are absolutely and grateful. We're absolutely grateful to the Lord for this day, for this hour. We're coming now into the time of rest at the 6 o'clock hour. Entering into the Sabbath of the Lord, that time of rest. Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So it's in this time that we take the opportunity to reflect over our week, reflect over our year, reflect over our lives, and give God thanks and give God praise for the great things that he's done. Because people, God, no matter what is going on in our lives, we got to know, as the scripture has declared, it's all working together for our good. Sometimes we got to take a moment and really look at it, really analyze it, really observe. But listen, people of God, it is working together for our good. So it's in this time that we reflect and we give God thanks and we give God praise in this Sabbath day, this time of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing when we really come to understand what the Sabbath is all about. You know, people often say, oh, that was under the law, that was under the law. But people of God, how many know that Jesus did not come to do away with the law? He came to fulfill it. Mm-hmm. He came to fulfill it in this day and in this time. So he didn't get away with observing the Sabbath. Amen. He did not get away. We got to remember it. We got to remember it to keep it holy. We got to remember to keep it holy. And we realize that in times past, yes, in times past, and even in some organization, in some churches, we realize that there is a strictness, there's a strictness to the keeping of the Sabbath, people of God. But we come to observe it. We come to glean out of it all that God has intended for us. And in that, people of God, we observe it. We embrace it. We take time out to stop, to thank God for his goodness and for his grace. Just taking that precious time, just taking that precious time throughout this moment, throughout this day, throughout this Sabbath hour, yes, to give God thanks and to give God praise. So we bless God on tonight. We thank God on tonight. We thank God for each of you again. We want to ask you to go ahead and invite a couple of people to come and be with you on tonight. Invite someone to, amen. Don't know what's going on there, but amen. We give God thanks. We give God praise. We thank God for all of our listeners, those listeners that are listening to us internationally. We thank God for you, each and every one of you. We thank God for our listeners that do come back and listen Even when we're not broadcasting, they come back and they sit, they listen at the broadcast from all over the world. So we give God thanks and we give God praise for you for finding value, for finding something in these broadcasts that are blessing you, that are causing you to keep coming back, that are causing you listen, that are causing you to download, causing you to share. So we thank God on tonight for this word getting out to the masses. Listen, it is truly the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. We're so grateful. We're so grateful for what the Lord is doing. Listen, people of God, he's doing it all by his spirit, all by his anointing. And for this, we give him thanks. And for this, we give the Lord praise. We give him praise. Just want to thank him for our leaders on tonight, all of our leaders. We thank God on tonight for them, first and foremost, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanking the Lord for him, people of God. It was his death, burial, his most of all, his resurrection, that now because he lived, we can live. We can live, people of God. We live because he lived. And we give God thanks and we give God praise for that on tonight. He didn't have to do it, people of God, but we are so grateful. We are so grateful for all that he has done. Amen. Glory to God, giving God thanks for our celestial intercessor, the late apostle, Dr. S.C. James. Thanking God on tonight for our senior apostle on tonight, Dr. Samuel Huggins James. Thanking him on tonight for our presiding bishop, Bishop K.A. Tina, as well as my pastor. Thanking him tonight for our PNN advisors. Amen. Just giving God thanks and praise for my leaders. Amen. And people of God, thanking God for your leaders on tonight. Thanking God for each and every one of your leaders on tonight, for the leaders that come to the line, for those that listen in, those that come to sit and be strengthened. Amen. Not on the platform, but just listening to hear the voice of the Lord through the speakers that the Lord has prepared for his people for this hour. And we thank God on tonight, people of God, because we know that it is by his divine plan. We know that nothing that we're doing is happenstance. Nothing that we're doing is just, listen, it's all by God's design and God's plan. So we thank God on tonight. Again, we want to ask you to go ahead and invite a couple of people to be with you on tonight. Listen, invite. Glory to God, our teacher is coming on tonight, and we're so grateful for this man of God that has, amen, determined within himself that he's going to steady the course. He's coming every Friday night to be a part of this platform, to be a part, amen, Jesus, to share what God has given unto him. And for this, we give God thanks, we give God praise, because there's so much and so many other things that he could be doing. But he has elected by the grace of God to come and be with us on Friday night. So we thank God. Amen. We bless the Lord. We glorify him on tonight. Amen. And we want you to just sit back, people of God, and listen. And get your pen and your paper. Get your pen, your paper. Get your iPad, your cell phone. Just take down those notes, those things that drop into your spirit, those things that God begin to illuminate in your hearing. Just take it down. Write it down, people of God. Write it down. It's going to help you remember it. So we give God thanks and we give God praise again on tonight. Again, go ahead and invite a couple of people to come and be with you on tonight. We are live on tonight. As every Friday night, we're live, and we do thank God again for our teacher on tonight. Glory to God. Coming to us from Applied Word Ministries there in Atlanta, Georgia. We thank God on tonight, people of God. We thank God for him on tonight. We thank God on tonight for our scripture reader. We thank God on tonight for our prayer warrior, who are so faithful, who are so dutiful, who are steady in the course, and standing in the gap. They're holding their places here on this line, and we give God thanks. We give God praise for them. We're going to go ahead and get ready for the word on tonight. We pray that you're ready with your listening ear. We pray that you're ready with your spirit open to hear what the Lord will say unto us on tonight. So tonight we're going to have ask Missionary Fan if she would come and sanctify the line, and then after her we're going to have our scripture reading by Sister Mary Hollins. In that order, people of God, and then the next voice that you will hear will be that of Minister Craig Cannon. Amen. We pray, amen, Missionary Fan would just give us a little song. I don't know, she just stopped singing for us. Amen. But give us a little worship song on tonight before she goes into our prayer. Amen. Glory to God. In that order, Missionary Fan, you have the platform. Are you able to come over? Press star 6, Missionary Fan. Are you? Let's see. I know sometimes our system doesn't cooperate with us. Missionary Fan, are you there? Amen. She might not be able to come over. If you could just let me know if you're able to come over, if we need to try to reset, just let me know, Missionary Fan. Amen. Are you able to come over? Can't come over. Okay, let's see if we can get you over. Hold on a moment. Let's see. Okay, I think we got you now, Missionary Fan. There you are. You're on the platform.
Praise the Lord.
Praise Him.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The song says, reach out and touch the Lord as He go back, and you will find He's not to be there to hear your heart cry, for He is there. And by this moment, your needs He will supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He goes. You just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by, and you will find He's not to be there to your cry, for He is past. And by this moment, and your need, He will supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He go by. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Lord, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, giving you the praise, giving you the glory, and giving you the honor. Lord, we come before you this night, Lord God, to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your everlasting love towards us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We magnify you. We glorify you tonight, Lord God. We thank you for allowing us to come, Lord God, together once again, Lord God, on this Friday night, Lord God, to hear what the Spirit would be saying unto us tonight, Lord. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you, Lord God, to look upon us tonight, each and every one of us, Lord God. Lord God, look on those, Lord God, from every country, Lord God, every city, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, every state. We come before you right now, Lord God. Lord God, we come asking you, Lord God, to look upon us, Lord God, and forgive us, Lord God, for our sin, Lord God, for our iniquity, Lord God, for our transgression. We come before you tonight, Lord God, asking you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, to create in us a clean heart, Lord God, renewing us a right spirit, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, with a repentant heart, Lord God, godly sorry, Lord God, in our heart, Lord God. We are so sorry if we committed any wrongdoings, Lord God, in the thoughts, Lord God, that we may have had, Lord God, that wasn't pleasing to you, Lord God. We come tonight with repentance, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come tonight asking you to look upon each and every one of us tonight in the name of Jesus. Touch our minds right now, Lord God, that we may hear, Lord God. Touch our heart that we may receive, Lord God, what your word will say tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We're asking you right now, Lord God, to send your choice anointing, Lord God. Let your will be done tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We're asking you to move, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Move on each and every one of us, Lord God. Every home, Lord God, that is representing tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for you see and you know all things, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, supply every need according to your riches and glory, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Look, Lord God, upon the lost souls on tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Somebody on the line tonight, maybe the first time, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and they need an answer, Lord God. Lord God, we also know, Lord God, that you are a rewarder for those that diligently seek you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask you to move on each and every person tonight, Lord God, that's looking for an answer, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, somebody's looking for hope. Somebody's looking for healing. Somebody's looking, Lord God, for the Holy Ghost on tonight. We're asking you right now to move, Lord God. Have a way tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we're asking you, Lord God, to move, Lord God, on every heart, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that's seeking, Lord God, a way out, Lord God, that's seeking an answer, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, seeking directions, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we're asking you to move. Have your way healed, Lord God, deliver set free. In the precious name of Jesus, move, Lord God, on the man of God tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord, we're asking you to have your way in with him tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We're asking you, Lord God, just to have your way, Lord God. Let your choice anointing come tonight on this line. Your teaching word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We ask you to look on Minister Bradley. In the name of Jesus, touch her right now. In the name of Jesus, supply, Lord God. Supply every need, Lord God, for you see and you know everything. And, Lord God, we be so careful to give your name the praise, to give your name the glory, to give your name the honor, Lord God, which you have so due. Lord God, yes, if we had 10,000 tongues, we still couldn't give you enough praise, Lord God, because you are worthy every hour, every day. Lord God, every second you are worthy of our praise. And tonight we give you the praise, the glory, precious name of Jesus we pray, and we will say amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We give an honor to God, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Evangelist Bradley, to our speaker for tonight, to the PNN advisors, to the PNN prayer wards, and to all of our listeners near and far. Scripture reading will be coming from the 13th chapter of Romans, the 8th through the 14th verse. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation near than when we believe. The night is forthwith, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chattering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I have read to you the 13th chapter of Romans, the 8th through the 14th verse. May God have a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his holy word.
Amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you both on tonight. We give God thanks. We give God praise. On tonight, we are now making space for our speaker on tonight, and as we've already stated, people of God, our speaker tonight comes to us from Atlanta, Georgia, by way of Word Ministries, and people of God, we want you to receive Minister Craig Cannon. Let's see if we can get him over. Seems like our system is sticking. God bless you. I believe your line is open, Minister Craig. Chris, there you are. You're on the platform.
Praise God. Can you hear me, sister?
We can hear you. God bless you.
You can? Okay, God bless you. Praise God. Praise you, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for just another opportunity, Lord God, to come into your presence. Spirit, have your way tonight on this line. Have your way upon the hearts of all the listeners. Holy Spirit, do whatever it is you need to do. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that as we continue to minister tonight, that your revelation knowledge will flow freely. It will be uninterrupted and unhindered by any evil, satanic, or demonic force. And Father, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and you will think through my mind. Let it be none of me and all of you. Empty me of me and fill me with you. For we are your servants and we are your vessels, Lord God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, people of God, thank you once again for this opportunity to come before the presence of the Almighty God. And I thank you that God has you here for a reason. He has you here for answers. He has you here because he loves you. For many of you tonight in different countries, different states, and all over the world, we are living in some serious times now. Things are different now. I believe we are in the last days, and it says, as in the days of Noah, so shall the end be. And there was plenty of things going on in the days of Noah that was just unheard of. But tonight I'm here to give you faith. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more you listen to the word and hear God's word, It'll get on the inside of your heart. And on the inside of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So God needs his word to be on the inside of you. It has to be sown on the inside of your heart. That's why it's so important to get into the scriptures, even after these sessions. Get into the scriptures for you. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what the scriptures say. So if you have your Bible, which you should have right now, turn to the books of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to go through Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to understand some things about entering into God's rest. Entering into God's rest. How do we enter into God's rest? How do we know we have entered into God's rest? We're going to go through a little bit of historical over the first three chapters, and chapter 3 and 4 should begin to give us a little bit more enlightenment and understanding. But let's mine for some nuggets in the Word. Let's mine for some nuggets in the Word. And what do I mean by mine? If you're familiar with gold mines, people go and dig for gold in the ground. They mine for nuggets. Gold is one of the most precious metals on the earth. And they mine for that. We should mine the Word that way. The Word is even more precious than gold. It's more valuable than gold. The Word of God, these scriptures, are more important than anything we have on this planet. That's why it's so important to get in them. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Remember, as you read the Word, you study the Word. And I'm going to give you all some insight into how I study the Word when I begin to read the scriptures. Before I read the scriptures, this is exactly what I say. Teach me, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask the Holy Spirit to teach me, because the Holy Spirit has been sent here to lead and to guide us into all truth. And thy word is true. Spirit has been sent here to comfort us, to advise us. He speaks what God says. The Holy Spirit is here for us. Jesus, when he left, said, I will send you another comforter. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. And that's why I ask the Holy Spirit to teach us truth before I read the scriptures. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1. God, let's stop right there. God, he's talking about God. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So he's saying that God spake in times past to the fathers by prophets. But look, let's keep reading. But hath in these last days spoken unto us, as you and I, by his Son, and we know his Son is Jesus. The God has spoken unto us by Jesus, whom he hath appointed things, and by whom also he made the worlds. So God appointed Jesus, the heir of all things, not some things, all things. And it was by Jesus God made the worlds. And you might say, wait a minute, how did God make the worlds by Jesus? We will go to 1 John where it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You see, Jesus is the Word. He's the manifested Word. And the scriptures say that the Word became flesh among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of who? The only begotten Son. There it is. That's Jesus. So Jesus, let's keep going. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's how we know we're talking about Jesus. Because where is Jesus today? Jesus is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Jesus is in heaven on the right hand of God right now, at this very moment. He's on the right hand of God, seated in heaven. Where's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is here on the earth. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is pleading before the Father. While Satan is accusing us, Jesus is saying to the Father, not guilty. I've already paid the price, thing they've done. I want you all to get a picture for a moment. All right? I don't know if many of you all have ever been to a courtroom. And I know I'm speaking to some of you all internationally as well. But I'm going to tell you something. In the United States, the courtroom is a room. You have a judge. You have a prosecutor. And you have a defense attorney. And then you have the accused, the person who's on trial. Now, the prosecutor is trying to prove that that person is guilty. The defense attorney is defending that person and saying, no, he's innocent. And then you have the judge who's listening to both sides. And the judge is ultimately the one who's going to make the decision. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Is that not the same parallel we have in heaven? We have the prosecutor, which is Satan. He's accusing us before God, right? He's accusing us before God, accusing God before us. He stirs stuff up. He's out there saying, to you, who is this God? What are you going to believe in that? You going to believe that old ancient book? There ain't no God. Are you kidding me? Look at you. If God was real, how come he allowing you to go through this and go through that? And then he's going before God saying, God, look at him. Look at your child over there. They go into church, but look at them. They're at the strip club at night. They sing hallelujah, but they're over here stealing. They're blessing God, and then they're cursing somebody out of the same mouth. Look at them. This is your child. This is the one you love. This is the one you gave your son for. See, that's Satan's job. He's the accuser. The word Satan literally means the accuser. He's accusing you before God and accusing God before you. But thank God for Jesus. Jesus, our defender. Jesus, our great high priest. Jesus is saying to the judge, I paid the price. They're not guilty. I paid the price. No matter what they've done, died for them. I shed my blood for them. I became sin for them, even though I was never sin. So now they are the righteousness of God. They're innocent, they're righteous, they're in right standing with you. That's the picture of heaven right now. Jesus is right there on the right hand of God interceding for us. He's in a position of rest because it is finished. He's done everything that needs to be done. All we have to do is accept him as our Lord and Savior. It's like, he's our defense attorney, if you want to hire him, if you want to accept him, if you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior. But if not, it's on you, because the decision is yours. God allows you to make that decision. He allowed all of us to do that. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels. We're talking about Jesus. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, a more excellent name than the angels. For unto which of the angels said he at any time? Let me translate that. Unto which of the angels did God say this to any of the angels? Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. God never said that to the angels. He said that to Jesus. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. That's what God is saying. I'm going to be his father, and he's my son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten in the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Worship who? Jesus. Jesus is the first begotten of the world. See that? And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, this is God. God said to the angels, you're ministers of a flame of fire. But this is what God said to his son Jesus. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness in the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. See, the reason Jesus is anointed, the reason God anointed him, two reasons. He loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. He loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. Think about that, loving righteousness. That's why we're the righteousness of God now. Why? Because Jesus became sin for us. He who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus took off his coat of righteousness and gave it to us, and he put on our coat of sin. He took on the sins of the whole world. Verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will stand. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? See that? God didn't say that to the angels. He said that to Jesus. Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits, talking about the angels, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I want you all to look at that. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. He didn't say they were already heirs. He said they shall be heirs. So those purpose of those angels are to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's us. We're the heirs of salvation, those of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Let's go on to chapter 2. Therefore, see how it's coming in? After saying all that, therefore, now let's talk about us, to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. God is saying, look, we really need to pay attention to the things that we've heard in this word. When a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a preacher, the fivefold ministry gifts that God has given the body of Christ, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means to mature. To mature the saints to do the work of the ministry and to edify the body. That word edify means to build up. Build up the body of Christ. That's what the fivefold gifts were given for. Gave us gifts to the body of Christ to build us up until we come into the unity of Christ. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. But if the word, spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So what he's saying there is this. Every time we mess up, every time we have a transgression, every time we disobey the word of God, if every time we messed up and disobeyed the word of God and we received a just recompense of reward, which means we got what we deserve, then how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There's no escape from that. The only escape is through Christ. The only escape is through the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to get to God is through Jesus. There is no other way. That's the only way we can escape that. We were due recompense of reward, just recompense of reward, which means God would be justified in punishing us for all the bad stuff that we have ever done if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. Praise God. See, it's through the blood of Jesus, through and by the blood of Jesus, we have a blood-bought right to call God Abba Father. It's through and by the blood of Jesus we have a blood-bought right to come boldly before God's throne of grace and find help and mercy in our time of need. It's through and by the blood of Jesus we have the blood-bought right to be saved, to be filled with the Spirit of God. See, it's only through the blood that we're saved. Jesus shed that blood on our behalf. Jesus took that just recompense of reward for us. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. So we can't neglect that great salvation. We can't let these things slip. When you hear this word preached, teach, and faith gets on the inside of your heart, take heed to it. Remember it. Live it. Learn it. Love it. We can't escape without it. Jesus is the only way of escape. That's the only way. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which, verse 3, chapter 2, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it. Look at that. It was at first spoken by Jesus, but then it was confirmed to us by those that heard it. All them back in those days who heard Jesus, who walked with Jesus, who listened to Jesus, now we are hearing the things that Jesus was speaking. They're confirming what Jesus said thousands of years later. God also bearing them witness. Now, how did God bear those witness who first was being spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now, how was this? God also bearing them witness, God saying, okay, yeah, they're teaching you what Jesus said, and I'm going to prove it to you with both signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. God says, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and prove to y'all that that was my son that these guys were talking about, that he is the Son of God, that he is seated on my right hand. And I'm going to prove it to you by miracles and signs and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will, God's will to do this. This was God's purpose. This was God's plan. To the angels, has he not put into subjection the world to come, whereof we speak? But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Look at this. So one in a certain place testified. One in a certain place testified. I want you to listen to what this one said. He's talking to God. What is man that thou art mindful of him, God? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, yet thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. See, they're talking about Jesus, but they're looking at Jesus from the man perspective. They're saying this, or the Son of Man that thou visited him. God, wait a minute. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I believe that one is Satan that they're talking about here. Wait a minute. What is this man that you're mindful of him, and or the Son of Man that you visited him? You made him a little lower than the angels, yet you crowned him with glory and honor, and you set him over all the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Verse 8, for in that he put all subjection under him, and he left nothing that is not put under him. Look at that. Everything is under Jesus. That's why the word of God says that at the name of Jesus, every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess in the earth, on the earth, and under the earth, that Jesus is Lord. There's nothing that's not going to put under Jesus. He has all authority over everything. All authority. All authority. No matter about the kings and the queens and the governments. You know, none of that stuff matters. Those guys don't have no authority like Jesus. Jesus is over it all. No matter about the angels or the demons or Jesus is over it all. God has made him over all. He left nothing that is not put under him. Verse 8, but now we see not yet all things put under him. We don't see it yet, all the things that are put under him yet, but we will. What's that scripture that says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of a man the things that God has created for him, those that love him, and those that are called according to what? His purpose. See, there are things we haven't seen or even heard yet. But I'm here to tell you, everything's going to be under Jesus, under his name. That's the most powerful name in the planet, in the planet. That's why it's the most hated name on the planet. See, it's both hated and loved. We love it, but the world hates it because they know that their end is near. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Hold it. Stop. Time out. You guys may say, oh, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. Hold on. Wait a minute. Jesus as a man. We know Jesus is God. See? Jesus is above all. Angels, demons, whatever. He's above it all. So don't read that scripture the wrong way. Because if you read it the wrong way, you'll say, wait a minute. See, Jesus is made lower than the angels. No, that is not what he's saying. But we see Jesus who was made little lower than the angels, ring of death. Read the whole thing now. He was made lower than angels for the suffering of death, which means he took on man. He took on the image of a man. He took on the body of a man. He's God incarnate in the flesh. Why? For the suffering of death, so that he could die for us. I'm going to show you something. In order to conquer death, Jesus had to die. Now look at that. Don't that seem kind of backwards? Death is our last enemy. Keep reading. Crowned with glory and honor, for that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. See, Jesus had to taste death for every man. He had to become a man to taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. See? All things were created by him and for his glory. He created everything. So why are we so surprised that his name is above everything? We're the created. He's the creator. The created can never be over the creator. He's superior to everything. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's us. That's us. We are the children of God. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. Look at that. He that sanctifieth is Jesus. And they who are sanctified is us. We've been sanctified. That word sanctification, separation, separation for God, for God's purpose, for God's plan. See, we're separated from the world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We got called out of the darkness and into this marvelous light. Those of us who are in Christ, let me make that correct, those of us who are in Christ, we got called out of darkness and into this marvelous light. We're separated from the world. That's why we don't do things the way the world does it. See, the world is a system. The earth is a planet. Don't get it twisted. The world is a system. The earth is a planet. That's when God says we're in this world but not of this world. You know, if you really read the scriptures, you'll see, you know, God says to pray for those who despitefully use you. That seems totally opposite, doesn't it? Somebody doing something wrong, you want to do something else wrong back to them. You want to get revenge. But God, instead of saying get revenge, he says pray for them. Well, that seems kind of backwards. See, we don't do things the way the world does it. We do things differently because we are separate from the world. We still love the world. And we keep praying for the world and interceding for us because we were once in the world. We were once alienated from God. Talks about that in Ephesians. But now we have joined unto God. How? By accepting his son. We crossed the bridge when we accepted Jesus. The only way to the Father is through the son. See how it all connects now? I am the way. That's what Jesus said. There's no other way. There is no other way. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Praise God. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. You know why? Because he liked us. When he came to the earth, he took on flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? Number one, so he could die like we die. But he died a death that took on the sins of the world. He died a death that made us righteous. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin. He felt our pain and our sufferings as humans because he took that on. He took on that. He had to become like us to really get the feel for how we are as a species, a human species. See? Remember, man is not male. Man is both male and female. Man is the species, or man or human is the species. Male and female are the sex of that species. He had to become human, man or human. Don't get it twisted. Man doesn't always necessarily mean male. For years that stumbled me, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to me one day. God just opened up my eyes. I saw it very clearly. Okay, Lord, I got it now. But there was a scripture in the early part of Genesis that was saying male and female, he created he them. It said, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And I kept reading that scripture over and over and over and over again. I was like, this isn't making sense. This, okay, male, I know he created male and female. I know Eve came out of Adam. God had Adam go to sleep, did a little surgery, took one of his ribs out, and from that rib he made Eve. But Adam came from the dust of the earth. Adam was created from dirt. Eve was created from Adam. Male and female, okay. Then Adam turned around and named Eve woman. That word woe means out of man because she was taken out of man. Every man has one less rib than a woman even to this day. And you find it hard to believe this word, to believe these scriptures are truth? Go to the doctor and see how many ribs you got. God's word is truth. Everything in this book is true. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one, for which he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. See, we're the children of God, and God gave us to Jesus. We are the children of God. This is what Jesus said, which God had given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, we made out of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. There it is right there. Jesus said, I got to become like them. I got to become flesh and blood. That through death, what did I say before? Watch it. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. See? In order to conquer death, Jesus had to die so that he could conquer the one who had the power of death. See, Satan had the power of death. See? And all that time, man feared death. We feared it. We're afraid to die. Because we didn't know what was going to happen after we died. But the Word of God tells us exactly what's going to happen after we die. We have no reason to be afraid anymore. No reason to be afraid. He also himself, verse 14, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That is the devil. See, when Jesus died those 3 days, remember? He was raised from the dead on the third day. He came up. We're going to study one day what happened when Jesus died. He was in that tomb. See, Jesus had to go and take those keys from Satan, the keys of death, and also had to set the captives from captivity. I explained that to you, too, because that was another thing that had kind of got me, and I was thinking, like, okay, Lord, I see. Thank you, Father, for showing me that. Through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death, look at that, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, fear will always put you in bondage. Some of y'all out there right now, y'all afraid of something. Something got y'all scared. I don't know whether you owe a person something. I don't know whether the doctor gave you a wrong report. I don't know whether you're just, you know, afraid somebody going to try to rob you or kill you, whether Satan only comes to kill, steal, and destroy, or destroy you. That's what fear does. Fear paralyzes you. Fear puts you in bondage. But the greatest fear of all of that is death. People right now who fear death because they don't know Jesus. You're afraid. You're afraid of death. When you know Jesus, you won't be afraid to die. Because you know where you're going. Because you know you have accepted the only way back to God. But if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to die without God. And then you're going to die separated from God forever. Because I'm here to tell you, the only place that you can make that decision is while you're on this earth and in this body. And an indecision is a decision. Which means if you haven't accepted him, by default, you have rejected him. And if you die in that, ever be separated from God. God says, I am giving you the only way there is. And you better know that way is the only way it is. Because if you leave this earth without accepting Jesus, you're going to wake up on that other side and you're going to realize that everything that I'm telling you is true. And it's going to be too late. And then nothing can be done for that after that. Nothing can be done. It's a decision. It's one decision. It's one decision. You know, years ago I had a friend of mine who told me this. He said, Craig, got a question for you. Would you rather not understand all this stuff about church and not even know if it's even true? Would you rather accept Jesus, just accept him on faith, just accept him on, okay, this got to be real, this got to be true. That might be something to this. Would you rather accept Jesus not knowing that there is a heaven, not even understanding anything about heaven, not even really, you know, thinking that, okay, if I accept Jesus, am I really going to heaven? Is this thing really real? Would you rather do that? Would you rather accept Jesus not knowing there is a heaven? Or would you rather reject Jesus and die and find out that there really is a hell? That was a deep question for me. That was a deep question. I was like, wow, never thought about it like that. So you're going to take a chance on your life being separated from God. If you think you're going through hell right now on earth, wait until you experience the real hell. There are no friends there. There ain't no love there. There ain't no light there. There's torment. The Bible is very clear about it all. You can see in the scriptures, some of the descriptions, it's torment, constant torment. I was watching something the other day on YouTube. I stumbled across it. I know, God has a personality, but I stumbled across this YouTube video. I'm going to give you guys an example of this. The YouTube video, it was showing these court cases, which was very interesting. And these people were found guilty. You know, they had done some horrific things, murdered, raped, robbed, absolutely horrific things, whole families, children, kids, pregnant women, men, innocent people at their jobs, just shot them up because they got mad. Anyway, the court case went on and they had been found guilty. And so the judge had to give them their sentence. So this was the sentence. After they were found guilty, the judge immediately gave them their sentence. And, you know, he was saying life in prison or, you know, I don't think nobody really these days get the electric chair where they actually get the death penalty. We call it the electric chair. I'm kind of old school with the death penalty. But it was like two life sentences in prison. And the moment they heard it, some of them fell out. Some of them started crying. Some of them said, God, God. They just started crying out to God. Help me, God. God, 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 help me, God. All right, God, help me. Now, they're still on the earth, so it's not too late for them to accept Jesus. They may be in prison for the rest of their life, but it ain't too late for them to accept Jesus. But imagine now when we stand before the great white throne, when we stand before God, at least those who are going to stand before God who haven't accepted Jesus. And God's going to ask them one question, what did you do with my son? And God already knows the answer because he knows everything. And they instantly going to be cast out into hell, instantly, tormented, gnashing of teeth. I think about hell sometimes, it's like lava, like from a volcano. That's all I see. But I'd rather think about heaven, the streets of gold, seeing your loved ones that you haven't seen, long-lost loved ones. Even if you just barely make it in, you made it in. You got there. You're in the presence of the Almighty. Total peace and rest. Stark contrast is something to think about. King, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Talking about Jesus. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherein all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful, watch this, high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. See, Jesus right now is our great high priest. He's sitting on the throne on the right hand of God. See? If you want to think about the function of Jesus, you could think about he came as a prophet. He's in the position now as a priest, and he's going to return as a king. God's wisdom is so awesome. See? His wisdom is so awesome. So wherein in all things, verse 17, it behoved him to be made like, he had to be made like his brethren, that's us. He had to be made human. So why? So he can be merciful and faithful as a high priest in things pertaining to God. He can show us mercy. He knows he can feel what we felt because he took on that flesh and blood. See? He had to.
so he could identify with us. He can know, you know, he know how we feel. God knows when we're crying, God feels that. When we're in pain, God feels that. He knows it. You know, the scripture says Jesus wept when John the Baptist got beheaded. That was his cousin. This wicked king that cut his head off because the daughter-in-law said it, cut his head off because he was saying the king was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. And the king asked the daughter who danced before him, grant one wish, and I'll grant it. And he went in there and chopped his head off. Remember this. When Jesus was on the inside of Mary, John was on the inside of Elizabeth. Matter of fact, when the two pregnant women came together, both of the kids leaped in their bellies of the moms. So they were very tight. They were very close. So when this happened, Jesus wept. He cried. Think about that. God cried. So don't ever think God doesn't know how you feel. He knows exactly how you feel about anything and everything. Let's go to chapter 3. For in that he himself suffered, talking about Jesus being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. See, he also knows our temptations. You know, the word of God, the scriptures say, the only thing you're going to find in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's it. Every sin can fall under one of those three categories. The lust of the flesh, whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever you're lusting after, women, men. The lust of the flesh wants it, food. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, you see something you want, whether it's money, male or female, stuff, cars. You know, I want a big house. I want a 13 bedroom house with a Lamborghini outside, or whatever. All this stuff, the lust of the eyes, because I see somebody else got it. Or I want $1 billion because I see somebody else got it. Or I want that person because I like how they look, even though they belong to somebody else. They're married to somebody else. The lust of the eyes, and watch this: the pride of life. The pride of life is when you're above everybody. You think you're above everybody. Whatever that may be, and whether it's in your education, whether it's in your skill set, whether you are one of those people who are very attractive, you just think you all that. Pride of life. You're very proud. Very proud about your family, your stuff, your wealth, or whatever. All sins can be fallen under one of those three. See, those also have temptations in them. See, Jesus had to suffer those same temptations so that he can overcome temptation. I think it's interesting. Everything Jesus had to overcome, he had to go through. In order to overcome death, he had to die. In order to overcome temptation, he had to be tempted. See, that's in the wisdom of God. God already knew he was righteous. He ain't going to fall for that stuff. But he had to go through it because that's what we're going through. That's why we can't do it without him, because he's already overcome it. And through him, we can overcome it. Not through ourselves. Chapter 3. We're getting close. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. There it is. For y'all who don't believe that Jesus is in our high priest position, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now look at this analogy, how they're going to compare this thing with Moses and Jesus concerning their house. For this man was counted worthy more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he hath builded the house, hath more honor than the house. For every house, look at this, for every house is builded by some man. But he that built all things is God. God built all things. Every house is built by some man, But who, the one who built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken thereafter. So he's talking about Moses in his house and how Moses was faithful of all things in his house. Let's keep watching now. But Christ as a son over his own house, look at that, whose house are we? Stop, time out, pause. Who's Christ's house? We are. Who's Christ's house? We are. But Christ as a son over his own house, who is Christ over his house? Who is his house? We are. Whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Meaning, if we stay steadfast in the faith. We got to stay steadfast in the faith. We got to continue to believe this word. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, now listen to this, today, if ye will hear his voice, step number one, we got to hear his voice. Got to hear God's voice. How's God speaking? Through his scriptures. One of the ways God speaks is through his word. He will never speak outside this word, outside these scriptures. He'll never speak outside that. Everything he says will always line up with this word. The quickest way you want to hear from God, get into his scriptures. He'll talk to you because he talks to you through your scriptures. I'm not saying that's the only way he can talk to you. I'm not boxing him in. I'm saying that this way is the guarantee because this word is true. God will always speak through his word. As a matter of fact, whose word is it? His. It's not our words. It's his words. These are his words. We have the mind of Christ right here in this book. And there's no other book like it on this planet. See, for some, this is foolishness. They can't understand it because they can't discern things, spiritual things, because they don't have, they haven't accepted Christ yet. It won't make sense to them. It's gibberish. This makes no sense to them. It's not going to make sense because you got to accept Jesus. Once you accept Jesus, the Spirit of God can begin to teach you. Comes on the inside of you. Fills off your spirit. Now you belong to God when you accept Christ. Wherefore, verse 7, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Now look at this. If you all know the story when Moses led all of the Israelites out of Egypt, they got into that desert. God had set them free. They were slaves for years. But they got into that desert, and then they began to harden their hearts. They didn't believe God, even after God had set them free, which still blows my mind. You know, miracles. You know, they follow a pillar of fire by night and a cloud moved for them by day. So led them exactly to where they need to go. And they still could not believe God. And I cried out one day to God, said, God, you showed them miracle after miracle. We don't even see this stuff today. How could they not believe you? I mean, if I'm following the cloud, if I see a pillar of fire by night and you leading me with that, I mean, this God, what else am I going to believe? But even in that, they still doubt it and they harden their hearts. So if you all know that story, you'll know what he means here. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost saith to this day, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years. They tempted him. That's why they didn't believe God, right? They didn't believe God. I'm going to come back to this because this was the whole theme of this message about rest. They didn't believe God. They tempted God and provoked God, and they saw his works for 40 years. So they wandered in that desert for 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation. God said he was grieved with that generation. Why? Because they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. And watch this. The reason is, since they didn't believe him, they couldn't enter into rest. I'm going to show you that. That's the whole purpose of this message. They need to believe to enter into rest. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. See? So we commit an error in our heart when we don't know God's ways. How are we going to know his ways? We've got to get in these scriptures, and we've got to meditate, and we've got to study, and we've got to pray. You got to know God's ways. When you understand and know God's ways, then you won't err in your heart. Well, you might be saying, well, what is God's ways? One of God's ways says, thou shalt not kill. That's the commandment, right, of the Ten Commandments. That's a way of God. So you err in your heart if you don't know that commandment, and you go out and kill somebody. That's just a simple view. Let me give you another example of God's ways. It says, pray for those in authority over you so you can lead a quiet and peaceful life. This is where application comes into play, ladies and gentlemen. I'm showing you how to take this word and apply it to your life. Start praying for your boss and you'll have peace. Some of y'all ain't got no peace because you ain't praying for your boss. I'm telling you, start praying for your boss and you'll have peace. Pray for those in authority over you so you can have a quiet and peaceful life. Why don't you have peace? Because they're making foolish decisions about your life that is upsetting you or grieving you or getting you frustrated, and you're wondering, why are they doing this? This makes no sense. This is crazy. But what's your part in it? You're not praying. God says, my way is for you to pray. And then God can move on their heart to make the right decision. Because God holds the heart of the king in his hand, and he can turn it to and fro. But if you ain't doing your part to pray, hey, you ain't going to have no peace. Don't blame God for that. You didn't do your part. Why? Because you don't know his way. So you're erring in your heart. You're making an error in your heart because you don't know his ways. He said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. But his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into rest. Look at this. Let's go back, 10 and 11. There it is. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. A lot of us are not entering into God's rest because we don't know his ways. See? Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Look at that. In departing from the living God. Unbelief. You don't believe this stuff. God calls that an evil heart. It's evil for you not to believe that God is God. It's evil for you not to believe God is real. It's evil for you not to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm just going to say it. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You're departing from the living God. Now, I love the way he said the living God, which means there's a lot of dead gods out there. God ain't just putting a word in there. He's the living God, the one true and living God, the great I am. There is no other living God. You can call it a God, but it's not a living God. And it's not the one true and living God. And it can't do anything for you, whether it's a statue, whether whatever it is, it's not the one true and living God. But exhort, this is what we should be doing. But exhort one another while it is called today. Look at that. I love the way it separates today. It ain't put together like we do. It's T-O, then there's a space, then day. Because that was the first thing that popped out at me. 10, you also say, verse 10 where he says, hang on 1 second. There was somewhere else I saw today. There's another verse in there that says today, though, two separate day. And I love the way he says it. Let's just keep going. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, meaning at some point it ain't going to be called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, sin will harden your heart. Sin will harden your heart. What does it mean, harden your heart? Turn you against God. That's what happened to Pharaoh. When Moses kept trying to say, let my people go, God hardened his heart. God was proving himself to him. He just kept, no, I'm not going to let him go. I'm not going to let him go. All these things happened to his people, and he still had a problem with letting go. Even his people said, look, man, we can't fight against their God. Their God is God. And he was so prideful, he still couldn't let him go. There's that sin of pride, remember? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. For we, verse 14, are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We're made partakers if we hold steadfast in our faith. While it is said today, there it is again, today, two space day, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That's the same thing he just said down here. See how God repeated himself? Look at verse 8. Harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation and in the wilderness. Verse 15. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Harden not your heart. That's a command from God. Don't harden your heart. Harden not your heart. Harden not your hearts. He's saying it repeatedly. When God repeats something, that means get there. Stand. Listen. Pay attention. Harden not your heart. As in the provocation, chapter 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all came out of Egypt by Moses. Not all came out of Egypt by Moses. Egypt is a type of the world today. Egypt is similar to the world. God was bringing his people out of the world. That's what he's doing with us. He brought us out of the world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Those of us who are in Christ, see, he called us out of the world. That's that parallel to what he did with his people in Egypt. He called them out of Egypt, out of the world, out of bondage. They were slaves to the world, just like some of you all are now. You're slaves to the world because you haven't accepted Jesus. The only way you're going to get free of that bondage, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed, is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? God was grieved 40 years because they didn't believe him. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? They died in the wilderness. See? They didn't enter into the promised land. They was just out there in the desert going in circles. Excuse me. They was out there in the desert going in circles. That was their punishment for not believing. Not believing God and tempting God. After God had called them out of the world. Isn't that like us? Some of us, God had called us out of the world and we still want to go back to the world. Some of us, like Moses, you should have just left us back there. At least, even though we were slaves, they gave us food, and we was eating good. We was in bondage, but we was eating good. Come on, really? But that's the way, that was their mentality. Like some of us now, we get called out, and we didn't thank to God. We want to return to that mess, that vomit, that worldly mess. God called us out. He didn't deliver us and set us free. Praise God. But with whom he was grieved 40 years, and was it not them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? That means they died out there, never entered into the promised land. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into rest, but to them that believe not. And that's the point I'm trying to make. See, I'm going to say this last thing, and I'm going to bring it home here. And let's go to, we're going to end here on verse 18 and 19. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into rest. God said, you ain't going to enter into rest. But to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. You know, when I read that the other day, something the Spirit of God shared with me. I want you all to read that slowly. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. A lot of us are entering into rest because we don't believe God. I'm going to give you a practical example. You truly believe God. I give you an example of something I apply as much as I can. I won't say every day, but when it occurs. Periodically, you know, I'm getting old, I'll lose something. Let's say I lose my keys. A couple of days ago, I lost my keys. Couldn't find them. Don't know where I put them. Usually, I'll put it in the same place every day. I did get that wisdom some years ago. But for some reason, this particular day, I wasn't really paying attention to what I was doing. I put them down, and I couldn't find them. I didn't put them where I was supposed to put them, which was by the door on a hook. So they weren't where they were supposed to be because I didn't put them there. I got distracted. So a lot of times we get distracted because we don't stay focused on the task at hand of what we need to do. So I got distracted, couldn't find them. And I've learned over the years that when I can't find something, I've got to, watch this, enter into rest. Enter into rest. What do I mean? I've got to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to show me exactly where they're at. Because he knows everything. He knows everything. I'm going to tell you something I've practiced over the years, and it works every single time. This is just taking something simple. See, God cares about even the small things in your life. So here's what I do. I lose the keys. The first thing that comes to our mind is, where are the keys? Where are the keys? Man, I can't find the keys. I'm looking everywhere. Can't find the keys, trying to retrace my steps, trying to think about the last place I had them. Couldn't find them keys for nothing. And so you know what? Over the years, I've learned this. So after I go ahead and burn a little fuel for about five or 10 minutes and can't find them, I say, you know what? Man, I'm going to stop looking for them, man. Holy Spirit know where they're at. I tell my wife, Holy Spirit know where I'm at. Don't even worry about them. Holy Spirit will show us where they're at because he knows everything. This works every single time. I challenge you to try it the next time you lose something. Just ask God to show you where it is. I said, the Holy Spirit knows where that, so I'm not going to even look for him. And I go on doing something else. Don't even think nothing about him. Do you know within sometimes 30 minutes, the Holy Spirit will show me exactly where they're at? I don't hear a voice. It's nothing like that. It's just an intuition, the discernment. Oh, maybe I need to walk over here by the door. Now, I'm not thinking about the keys. I'm just going on about my business. And all of a sudden, the keys pop. Oh, there they go right there. And instantly, when I see them, I say, thank you, Holy Spirit. I acknowledge his presence. I say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me this. I know you knew where everything was at. I challenge you to do that just to show you just how much God loves you and how active God is in your life. If you just simply ignore, he's waiting on ready to help you. But you got to enter into rest. What do I mean by enter into rest? I believe that God will show me where those keys were at. See, these people didn't enter into rest because of their unbelief. See, a lot of you all out there, man, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't believe God goes through me. I'm going to keep looking for my keys. Well, you'll be looking for days and walking right past it every single time. Just like those children of Israel out there in that desert, they kept going in circles. There was one pathway out of that desert into the promised land, and they just kept missing it. For 40 years, they missed it. Because of their unbelief, God didn't allow them to enter in. Because of their unbelief. See, rest is that place of peace, right? That's that place of peace. It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. See, God wants us in peace, not in pieces. A lot of us are in pieces because we're trying to figure something out we can't figure out when God has already worked it out. And the only way we can enter into that peace, we got to believe God. Okay, I believe God is with me. Okay. There's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to really act on it. When you truly believe God, you ain't worried about anything. If we truly believe God, would we be worried about anything? Knowing that we are a child of God, knowing that we have accepted his son, knowing that his son is seated on the right hand of God, interceding for us, even as we speak, even at this very moment. If we truly believe God, why are we worried about losing our job? Knowing that God, if he can feed the birds, he can feed us. Knowing that God, if he can clothe the lilies of the field, he can clothe us. If we truly, truly, truly believe God, we would be at rest, at peace all the time, no matter what hell is going on all around us. We know that God is with us, and God will never leave us nor forsake us. If we truly believe that, we would enter into rest. That's the message I'm trying to teach you. Learn to enter into rest. get into this word and learn God's ways. Learn about God. Study these scriptures. God, wait a minute. Now, you said that I'm the head, not the tail. You said I'm above only, not beneath. I hear people say that. But wait a minute, God, you said that though my beginnings are small, my latter ends should be great. I don't know how you're going to do this, but you got to do it because you said it. The word of God says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Remember, Jesus hadn't come yet. So Abraham believed God. Abraham entered into that rest even before Jesus even got here. But God counted unto him as righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is Jesus. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. We just read that Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Been trying to tell us. We've got to learn to enter into rest. And the only way we're going to enter into rest, we got to believe God. And if we have unbelief in our heart, we ain't going to enter into no rest. If you believe that if you begin praying for your boss that you're going to have some peace, then start praying. Work this word because the word always works. God wants us to work this word. He just put this stuff in the book for us just to read and get inspired and hoop and holler and sing and praise. And yeah, he wants us to sing and praise, but you know what? He wants us to act on this word. We got to do it. We got to work this word. God put that in us. He's given us instructions and directions, things that we should be doing as, you know, as fellow partners with Christ. We should be doing certain things. Jesus is seated. Jesus has done all he's going to do. That's why he's in a position of rest. He's seated. He's seated. He ain't got to stand up and come down here and do nothing else. He died on the cross for us. It is finished. Praise God. Get that in your spirit. It's finished. See, you never heard it like this before. Praise God. But I'm telling you, God wants us to enter into rest. And the best time to rest is when there's a mess going on all around you. All hell is breaking loose on the earth right now. Right has become wrong, and wrong has become right. Just like the scripture said in the last days, that's exactly what is happening right now. People are getting away from things they know are right. They're going the complete opposite way. That's like a slap in the face to God, to our Creator. But you know what? God told us that's what was going to happen in the last days. So why are we surprised? As in the days of Noah, so shall the end be. I think it's interesting, in the days of Noah, things got so bad, God had to send a flood to destroy everything except Noah and his family and start over. The world had gotten so wicked down here, that God said, you know what? I got to get rid of all of them. They ain't no good. Every thought they have is continuously evil, you know? Matter of fact, it grieved him that he had even created man. That's what the scriptures say. That's a harsh thing to say, man. That's a harsh thing to say. I'm sad I even created y'all. Y'all so wicked. And look at us. We're going right back to that. Right back to that. That same cycle. But the scriptures told us that, you know, as in the days of Noah, so shall the end be. In the days of Noah, everything you could imagine wicked was going on. Everything. And it looks like we're headed right back in that same direction. The best thing for us is to stay in these scriptures. First and foremost, the best thing for us is to accept Jesus, because none of this is going to make sense. So I'm going to start right there. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen at this message that you've heard tonight. There is a heaven and there is also a hell. And trust me, both are very real. They're just as real as me sitting here talking in this room to you across this telephone. They're just as real as you sitting in that room listening to me through this phone. They're real. They're very real. And the only way to escape hell is to accept Jesus. That's the only way. Don't be deceived by any other religion. Don't be deceived. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. There's only one way to God. I am convinced of that. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you right now, where you are, to bow your head and pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, save me. I've heard this message tonight, Lord, and I'm just moved by the truth that has come out. I want to be saved, Lord. Save me. I accept Jesus right now, my Lord and Savior. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, and I believe in my heart, Lord, that you raised him from the dead. Save me this day, Father. Fill me with your spirit. I want to be a part of your family. I want to see you one day in heaven. I want to see my loved ones who have accepted Christ in heaven. Save me, Lord. I'm a mess right now, but I know you can make a masterpiece out of a mess. Forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. I make a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of direction this day. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you for allowing me to hear your words. Thank you, most importantly, for Jesus, who paid the price on the cross for my sins. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. Amen. Well, praise God. For those of you all who have prayed this prayer, welcome to the family of God. I challenge you, number one, get you a Bible, find your church somewhere that you're getting the Word of God, and begin to read the scriptures in the Bible. And before you read them, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. The Holy Spirit teach you. Just begin reading slow. Wherever the Lord leads you to begin to read, read. If you need to ask questions or direction or understanding, find someone who is saved and fellowship with them, or find a church home that's near you. And if you can't do any of those, continue to come back here to the PNN Network. There are many speakers on this line that can help you. I praise God for you, and I welcome you to the family of God. And if you ever have any questions on any messages, please feel free to ask. And we can do the best we can to answer them. And I thank you for this moment, for coming out tonight. May God continue to bless you and keep you. And I pray that this message will bless you. And for those of you who are saved, I ask that you to go ahead and continue to believe God and enter into rest. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. There's a song even as the message is going forth, because it was so plain, the message was so plain on tonight, that a fool need not even to err. But this old song just came to my mind. What more can he do? What more? Has laid the foundation. Open up the way. What more can he do? What more can he do? What more can he do? He has laid the foundation. Open up the way. What more can he do?
Praise God.
Yes, praise Lord. God. Hallelujah.
What more can he
glory,
do? Praise
hallelujah,
God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, glory, hallelujah.
Hey.
Woo, hey, glory, hallelujah. Ha, ya, 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 ha, glory to God, hallelujah. Hey, God, what more can he do, people of God? He has already laid the foundation. He's already opened up the way. He's already provided the way that we can enter into his rest. Glory to God. And listen, people of God, that's not on the other side, but that's right here. That's right here on the earth. And we give God thanks and we give God praise. And I feel it. I feel it on tonight. Glory to God. I feel the way. I feel the way. I feel, glory be to God. I feel the comfort of God. And I just give God thanks and I praise him today. God bless you, man of God, for this word on today. What more can he do? He's already provided the way. We don't have to, even as you begin to declare the word so much on tonight, as we said, people of God, listen, we don't even have to go round and around and around the mountain. No. He's already made the way. He's already died. Yeah. He's already made the way.
Yes.
Glory to God. And all we got to do is, that man of God said, just come unto him. Come unto him. Come into him.
Yes.
And he'll give us rest. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. I'm feeling grateful right now. I'm feeling might grateful right now for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he's done. I thank him. On today, people of God, he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And I thank God on tonight. I thank him on tonight, glory to God, for this word on tonight. It just made my heart glad. It made my soul feel good on tonight. And I pray that it did you too. Amen. So we bless God on tonight. We bless him. We thank him again for this word. God bless you, Minister Cannon. God bless you for this word on tonight. People of God, listen, you would certainly want to get a copy of this broadcast on tonight. Certainly, please, certainly get a copy of this broadcast on tonight. And we want you to share it with somebody. We want you to get it, share it with somebody. Get this word on tonight and share it with somebody. Somebody needs to hear this word. Somebody's looking for rest. Somebody is looking for a way out. Somebody's looking for a way of escape. Glory be to God. But listen, people of God, we got the answer. We got the answer right here for them. Glory to God. Jesus is the way. He is the way.
Yes.
Glory be to God. There is no other way. There is no other way. For he's the true and the living God. He lives.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because he lives, we live. Hallelujah. So I give God thanks. I give God praise on today. I'm telling you, this word just stirred my heart on today. Glory to God. Just really stirred my heart on today. People of God, listen, we pray that you, if you didn't know him in the pardon of your sins, if you did not know him, people of God, we pray. We pray on tonight that you receive him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, Jesus. And he now comes to give you rest. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You don't have to run around. You don't have to wonder about, listen, where are you going to spend eternity now that you have received him in your heart, now that you have received him, your creator. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now you rest in him. Just rest in him. Just rest in what he's done. Let him lead you. Let him guide you by his spirit.
Hallelujah.
He will lead you. Hallelujah to green pastures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I bless God on tonight. I tell you, I'm stirred on tonight, people of God. This word is so beautiful on tonight. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. People of God, listen, we want to let you know that you can get a copy of the broadcast on tonight. It is absolutely free. Of course, it doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you one thing. All you need to do is pick up that phone and text us. Let us know that you would like to have a copy. I'm going to give you two numbers, and you can text those numbers and let us know that you would like to have a copy, and we'll get them to you as quickly as possible. Somebody needs to hear this word. As we always say, the word that you send may be the word that saves somebody's life. That word that you send may be the very word that saves someone's life.
Yeah.
So tonight, all you have to do is text us, and the number is 912-257-3918. Again, that's 912-257-3918. You can also text us at 678-608-7234. Again, 678-608-7234. You can reach out to us on WhatsApp with that number, the 678 number, and we'll certainly get it to you. And now, people of God, listen, don't forget. You can also go out to our Facebook page, our Prayer News Network Facebook page. You can go out there and listen to it. It's posted there as well in our prayer group, the Re-Op Prayer Group 52, the new Re-Op Prayer Group 52. All of our listeners there, you can listen, click and listen. And that's the beauty of posting these broadcasts. That if you missed it now, you can always go back and listen later. Yes, you can always go back and listen later. You can always go back and tag somebody. You can always listen, get it to your phone, and again, send that link to someone else that someone else can hear and that someone else can be blessed, people of God. Listen, it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the purpose and the true will of God, people of God. He he doesn't want anybody to be blind. Listen, he does not want anybody to be blind, thinking that you're going to heaven, but you're not. Listen, that is why the word of God comes, so we can look. We can look at ourselves. We can allow the Lord to look at us and to show us ourselves so that we can get right. Amen? Because after we die, we can't get it right. If we got iniquity in our heart, this word of God comes to show us. Yes, it comes to show us. We're not just listening to be listening, but we're listening to be made. We're listening to be converted. We're listening to be changed. People of God, we are listening to be changed. Yes, out of darkness into light. Glory be to God. Out of the old sinful nature into the nature of Christ. Amen. That's why we listen. That's why we come. Amen. Glory to God. Nothing just to occupy our time, but we have got to be intentional in our listening.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
So I give God thanks. I give God praise tonight for this word. I bless God on tonight. I thank him on tonight. People of God, truly the Lord has done us well. God bless you again, Minister Cannon. God bless you. We pray God's blessings upon you. We pray that he shine upon you. Glory be to God. We pray on tonight that he bless your going out and your coming in evermore. We pray that he continue to bless your ministry, this word that he's placed in your belly. We pray that he will continue to breathe upon it, continue to magnify it. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray on tonight that he blesses your family. We pray on tonight that he bless, glory to God, everything that concerns you, everything that's attached to you. We pray that he will bless now. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray, glory to God, that he will continue to open the doors of utterance, that this word can continue to go forth, that people can continue to be blessed. We pray a special anointing upon you now. In the precious name of Jesus. And Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We ask, oh God, that you hide him behind your cross, cover him in your shed blood. For this we do pray in thy precious name, Jesus. Every heart on tonight, say amen on tonight. Glory be to God. We bless God. We bless him on tonight again. We bless God for you, man of God. What a word on tonight. What a word on tonight. Glory to God. We just can't tell you thank you enough. We cannot tell you thank you enough. We certainly pray. We pray and we cover you. Amen. That the Lord will shield you and continue the good work that he has begun in your life on tonight. Glory be to God. So at this time, amen, Jesus, we're going to turn it back over to you for other remarks and for the blessing of the line. God bless you tonight. We love you. We appreciate you in Jesus' name. You have the platform.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, praise God. Praise God. And for all of you all who are listening, I challenge you to do that. I challenge you for the rest of this week, just enter into rest. Whatever you're worried about, whatever anxiety you have, whatever frustrations you have, turn it over to God. Turn it over to God. Turn it over to God. Just trust him that God is going to work it out. Just turn it over to him. Just refuse to worry. Refuse to have any anxiety. And say, nope, God, I'm trusting you. I'm going to put this in your hands. You know exactly what needs to happen here. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He
mm-hmm.
gave you a spirit of power, a spirit of love.
90
a of
seconds.
Account. And I just pray that may the Lord continue to bless each of you all and keep each of you all. May the Lord surround you all with his love and his great mercy. May the blood of Jesus continue to heal those who need healing, deliver those who need delivering, and set free those who are in bondage or captive. And just remember in Psalms, in Psalms 91 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
60 seconds.
But thy Lord God is with me. His rod and his staff will comfort me.
Yeah.
Just remember that God's comfort is with you. God is with you. God is
mm-hmm.
in you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. And I ask you continue to bless each and every one of them and their families. And Father, I thank you that until we meet again, that you will show yourself strong in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, people of God. See you back here on tomorrow night. Come on back tomorrow night and be with us, people of God. Truly, as always, there is a word from
10
the Lord.
Seconds.
God bless you on tonight. We love you in Jesus' name.
We love you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
And open the